It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. District football action last night in Jefferson City and in Rolla. Here are your final scores. First of all, down in Rolla last night, the Rolla Bulldogs defeated the Capital City Cavaliers by a score of 35-7. Rolla moves on to the district semifinals. They will go to Columbia to meet the Battle Spartans on Friday night. And in Atkins Stadium, the Camdenton Lakers over the Jefferson City Jays by a score of 43-36. With the victory, Camdenton goes to Washington to take on the top seed Blue Jays next Friday night. Blue Jays are 8-1 on the season. It's district soccer action at the 179 Soccer Park this morning and early this afternoon. Jefferson City Jays, Sedalia Smith, Cotton, Capital City, and Helias all involved in district action at the 179 Soccer Park. And joining us is Jefferson City Jays head soccer coach Scott Blake. Coach, be a lot of soccer activity today out at the field, won't there?
We sure do, yeah. It's playoff time. You know, like Allen Iverson says, playoffs. You know, I just can't believe we're talking about, a crazy season of are we going to get to play, and here we are in playoffs.
Boy, and it'll be an early start for you, 10 o'clock.
Yep, it is, definitely. We had a site change, so everybody knows. We got a lot of rain this week, a lot of slow and steady rain. And so, the water was slow coming off, and we were just kind of questioning whether it would really dry out to make quality games and playoffs. So I think it's playable, but we decided just in good conscience to put out a good district tournament that we would move the games today to Capital City. So that's an easy move within our district. Coach Carrier was great, and the admin's been great in making that move. So today's game's actually going to be played at Capital City. Same schedule, 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And then MISHA has approved for us to return to Tuesday's championship game being at 179 Soccer Park.
Yeah, I had on the list here to ask you about the conditions as far as the field was concerned because of the weather earlier in the week. So you've made the change, and I think you're going to an artificial surface then, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you can't beat a good grass field, and 179 Soccer Park is a phenomenal facility. There's just a few great grass fields like that, and it's phenomenal, really is. But, you know, Mother Nature has its ideas, and, when you get rainfall, you have to have backup plans. Normally, we will go to a local college. Lincoln University has been really great, but they've closed off their turf to students only. So, having an option, I'd like to have more options within a school district, but it's nice to have that option to move it.
You know, in a situation, too, with where we're at this time of the year, when you have rain and the colder temperatures, the field doesn't bounce back as quick either, does it?
Correct, definitely. And the way that 179 kind of lays, it's, surrounded by creek water, and which is attached to the river. So when you get rainfall and the river goes up, the water table rises and the water just doesn't want to come off. So.
All right, you're scheduled to start at 10 o'clock against the Capital City Cavaliers. Tell us about the school records that this team has broken this year.
Yeah, it's been a special season for us. And, we give a lot of credit. Anything we achieve in the 2020 version of the Jays, we credit to previous classes as well. Without having alumni that have come before us, there's really no standard to strive to. And so we've had a lot of alumni come through our program, a lot of great coaches, including Eddie Horn, that have come through and established that standard. And our boys, I think, have see it less as us against you or trying to break records. I just think they want to do some things that haven't been done, and they want to push themselves to new levels. And a large part of that is classes that have come before you. So we have a real respect for Jay alums and those that support us. And the other day in Waynesville on Tuesday, we had the trifecta of record breaking, I guess, is what it would be. Broke the record for shutouts, which was established by the 2013-2014 classes. We established the most number of wins with 21. That was established by the 2014 class. And then we also shattered the goal record, which was previously in the 80s and now sits at 95. So again, with the 2013 class. So, just about 6-7 years ago, there were some records broken by previous Jays, and it's nice for this group to experience what that feels like. And, like I said, there's a, this is the last class of Jeff City Jays to go through and not be affected by the school split with Capital City opening up. So it's just been a it's been a real special season.
All right, you will enter the game today having won 16 of your games. You have 17 shutouts on the season, and you have a victory. In fact, you have a victory over every team that's in your district. You have victories over Helias, Sedalia Smith Cotton, and Capital City. You beat Capital City way back on September the 1st, 7-1. So again, 16 out of 17 as far as your wins are concerned, 17 shutouts on the season, and who you will play today, you have victory against earlier in the year.
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of regular season success, but, you know, as many coaches would say, the regular season success is just practice for playoffs. And so anything that we have done previous to now, we have acknowledged, and we are very, very proud of. We've got a great culture at in Jay Soccer right now. You know, a lot of that is, you know, even strings down to our junior varsity squad that's got two undefeated seasons in a row. The last two seasons specifically have been very, very special. But we know that there's something bigger out there. They got a taste of it last year, going out in the quarterfinals and losing 1-0 to Lee Summit West. And this group wants to go back. So I don't think we're going to rest on anything that we have accomplished up to this point. I think we are focused on taking one game at a time, which really is pretty easy to do with the current conditions with COVID-19. Just take one day at a time, like we did when we started the season. What you did yesterday doesn't matter. This is any given day, anybody can win. So we respect our opponents. We're proud of what we've done so far to this point, and we are definitely focused on doing something in playoffs.
All right, as I mentioned, you have Capital City today. What's your number one key?
For us, you know, is just to show that stability that we've been working for, to be able to defend when we need to defend, and then be fairly organized in our attack and see the field and read moments when we could go forward. You're going to get everybody's best game in playoffs. And like we said in previous interviews, you know, goals are sometimes hard to find in mm-hmm. playoffs. And, you know, for us, you know, we've just got to play smart. You know, we know how to play the game. Tactically, we'll just kind of see what how Capital City plays us. But this group has been with us for a long, long time. And for a lot of these guys, you know, I coached them since a lot of them were 8 years old, just within the club atmosphere. And they tactically can make changes. And so we're ready for the game, and we'll see what the game brings. And we'll make adjustments where we need to.
Good luck today. Thanks for the visit this morning, Coach.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head soccer coach Scott Blake. Again, they will open up district action. As he mentioned, it has been moved from the 179 Soccer Park to Capital City. They will meet the Cavaliers at 10 o'clock. It'll be followed by Sedalia Smith Cotton taking on Helias. It's the Coach's Show right here on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
A holiday party in Jefferson City begins with Madison's, a local catering tradition. Award-winning Madison's is known for exquisite cuisine, perfect for any occasion. From intimate gatherings up to as many as 300 guests. Catering to your every culinary need at your location with a wide range of menu options and attentive service is a Madison specialty. Start your holiday party right with appetizers, entrees, salads, desserts, and beverages from Madison's. Book your catering at madisonscafe.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
All right, welcome back. We are joined now by Helias Crusaders head soccer coach Jay Hebenheimer. They have a match against Sedalia Smith Cotton scheduled for noon today. Coach, you'll be on turf today, won't you?
Oh, boy. We are excited about that. Good morning, Kevin. I got that information. Let's see. We were having a district dinner last night, and we got the email. I got a text from my AD, saying that I need to check my email that the games have been moved. And so we are excited to be on turf. That was good news.
You set to go?
We are set to go. We're You know, our season's been kind of up and down, but ultimately the message to the boys has been the season is to prepare us for these games we're getting ready to play. And ultimately we know our opponents well, we've seen them, and we have a game plan in place, and hopefully the boys can come out and execute that game plan this afternoon.
You know, you take a look at, I know some people like to compare scores, and, you know, this year with the situation being schedules having to be changed and everything, you will go into this game, and if people want to look at comparative scores, they will have an opportunity to do so as far as you and Sedalia Smith-Cotton is concerned. I looked last night, and I think there are 8 common opponents on the schedule this year.
Absolutely. And you know, the funny thing about looking at those common opponents this year is, it's been this year, so, you know, we don't know if we're that team and this game had 3 or 4 players out due to quarantine or what. So, you know, some of those scores could be skewed one way or the other. And ultimately, you know, we as a team don't always play our best games on those common opponents. And so those scores may, for whatever reason, not reflect the true measure of that game. So, I do look at common opponents and I do look at scores, but ultimately this year I'm not putting a lot of weight in those scores just because we don't know the circumstances behind those games. So we're just looking at it. We've played Smith-Cotton twice. We know what they're about. They probably know what we're about. And so we've switched some things up, and as I imagine Ethan did too. And we're going to go out and play the game today and see who comes out on top.
I think the Tigers have, what, 11 shutouts on the season?
And they're very strong. They're very strong physically. They're organized defensively, and they got some skill up top that's quick and dangerous, and also big and strong. So we've seen them. We know them, and I think we're prepared for them, and we're going to come out and give them a fight today.
Let's take a look at a couple of quick numbers. Coming into the game, I think you're averaging about 3 goals a game and then giving up about a goal and a half a game. Your thoughts on those?
Here recently, we've been getting the ball in the back of the net, and that's good for us. We got the offense spurring a little bit. Defense is again, I've taken some knocks. I've lost a couple players on the back line, and so I got a freshman starting back there in Nick Ammons, and he's holding it down and doing what we're asking him to do back there. And Logan Wilson is our junior leader on that back line, is being everything that we need him to be as far as directing and communicating and organizing what we have and ultimately making the team gel as well as it does. Connor Schaefer in the net is another big reason. He's made some huge saves, and so ultimately that's why we can kind of look at those numbers and say, yeah, that's what we are.
What do you like most about your team right now?
Ultimately, the chemistry. You know, like I said, we know we've had kind of an up and down season, but these boys are fighting for each other, and they know that these games are where it's at. They're not ready to quit playing. They want to play for each other, and they don't want to go out today and have today be the last game they play.
You know, the games against today have been close this year, haven't they?
2-0 and 2-1. Mm-hmm. So, and again, they, you know, a miss, you know, missed by inches here, a shot or two off the post, and those games look a little bit different. And again, it can go either way today, but I think my boys are in the mindset that they're not going to allow Smith-Cotton to get us again, and especially in a close game.
All right, what's your number one key today?
Possession. If my boys can build up from the back and play smart, and we can keep the ball away from the Tigers, then they can't score on us, and ultimately we're going to take our opportunities to hopefully find Luke Hines and Connor Mudd up top and let those two guys do what they do. And ultimately, we'd like to get out of there with a 2-0, 2-1 victory instead of what we've done so far this year.
You know, this is a good district, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's exciting. Our first year in Class 4, which, you know, I won't speak too much on that. I think we're a Class 3 school, but we compete against those Class 4 schools all the time. And with JC and Cap City and Smith-Cotton, I'm excited to. I'd love to see this district stay locked in for a few years because our district has changed 3 times in the last 3 years. So I'd like to see us locked into a district, and this is one that I think ultimately, as the years roll on, we can be successful in.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Good luck today.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
All right, thank you. Elias Crusaders head soccer coach Jay Hebenheimer. Once again, scheduled to be at the 179 Soccer Park starting at 10 o'clock today. They have moved the games. It will be at Capital City High School, and here's your schedule. The number one seed, Jefferson City, takes on Capital City at 10 o'clock this morning. It'll be followed with the noon contest as number two, Sedalia Smith-Cotton, takes on number three, Helias. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show right here on KWOS.
Save now on compact and utility tractors during the Massey Ferguson sales event at Tompkins Implement. Designed with performance in mind, these versatile tractors are made to boost your productivity and outperform the competition. And now you'll get 0% financing for up to 84 months on Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Don't forget to ask about their 10-year warranty, too. But hurry, this offer ends soon. Visit Tompkins Implement, Highway 52 West in Eldon, or go to TompkinsImplement.com.
Go, go! Sir, the bugs have taken over the entire neighborhood. They took out the Thompsons, the Joneses, and the Smiths.
I don't know how much longer we can hold on.
Calm down, soldier. Reinforcements are on the way. Holy Protector of Pest Control.
Steve's Pest Control is currently en route.
As the season changes, you may notice spiders, wasps, and mice trying to enter your home. But don't worry, the pros of Steve's Pest Control are ready for battle. Before the fall invasion attacks your property, calmly, quietly, pick up your phone and call us at Steve's Pest Control. We've been protecting businesses, homes, and neighborhoods all over Central Missouri for years, and we can protect yours too. I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We will eliminate your pest problem and stop the fall pest invasion. I guarantee it.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. In addition to first round soccer action in districts for Capital City, Jefferson City, and Helias today, the Helias Lady Crusaders volleyball team headed to the Class 5 sectionals down in Nixa today, where they will take on the host school. That is scheduled to start at 12:30. And then the quarterfinals at Nixa today, scheduled to start at 4 p.m. So the teams at the sectional in Nixa are Helias and Nixa, and they will take on the winners of the match between Springfield Central and Lee Summit West. Again, Helias at Nixa starting at 12:30, and then the quarterfinals at 4 p.m. Last night down in Rolla, it was the Capital City Cavaliers against the Rolla Bulldogs. The Rolla Bulldogs win by a score of 35-7. And joining us now is Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly. Coach, good morning, and give us a little preview as far as that football game was concerned.
Well, good morning to you. You know, I think it was a good opportunity for us to get another game in, obviously, after the shutdown. And, you know, our kids played really well in the first half. And to be honest, we just struggled in the second half. So it was really two separate halves. But again, we did some good things.
You know, that first half of the football game, as you mentioned, it was 0-0 too late in the second quarter when they came up with a touchdown to take a 7-0 lead into the locker room at the half.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, we had a good week of practice, and you know, I don't know if Rhonda was maybe looking ahead. I know sometimes high school kids will do, but. You know, Coach Franks and those guys did a good job in the second half, making some small adjustments and really playing up. I think getting his kids back to where they should have been in the second half was probably a little bit of a challenge at halftime. But they definitely, you know, we've definitely outplayed in the second half. So,
you know, this is a Rolla football team too that came into the game having beaten Camdenton the week before, 28-10 at home, and had over 300 yards rushing in the football game. This is a good team you played last night.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, I think the battle game with them is going to be a good game and then a good matchup. They're just a quality team. Somebody asked me last night, you know, well, what about them? And, you know, there was not one or two guys that I think that just stood out completely, but across the board, I think, you know, a really solid team and balanced on both sides of the ball.
And you talked about it as 7-0 at the half, and they took control in the second half. I think they scored on four straight possessions in the second half, and late in the third quarter, they were up 28-0. And one of the things as far as the key in the football game was concerned is the offensive and defensive lines, and they were pretty good there, weren't they?
Yeah, the guy from the paper asked me last night, he said, you guys have got a similar look as you have all year with, you know, a lot of people in the box with our running attack. I said, yeah, and he said, well, what was the difference? And that's the difference where the four or five guys up front, across the front, were better than our four or five. And there were a lot of games where I felt like we had an advantage in maybe one position or another or whatever. But being a younger team, we kind of got into an area that like I said, most of the positions across the front were better than us.
You score in the fourth quarter on a 10-plus play drive, and Hurley Jacobs in the end zone for you. Describe that series for us.
Well, the thing that I liked about it is their starters were still in. So that was a push for us late in the second half to continue to work and work against good opponents, not any substitutes or anything like that. So putting that drive together, I think, is just a continued process. I know it may seem a little bit redundant, but for us to just keep developing and keep working. And that's one of the things I told our staff last night I'm proud of is not just getting away from that and continuing to work and not trying to find that magic pill that's going to make everything okay. This year's had a lot of challenges, but I think we stood to our guns and got a lot of things done that we want to, and some things we won't have to go over again next year.
You take a look at the season from game one to the game last night against the Rolla Bulldogs. What's the biggest change you saw on your football team?
Wow. Probably a lot of maturity. And when I say that, I use it relative. I mean, with our young kids, I just think they understood. And even though I'm going into this week, this week of practice with the weather and the inclement weather and the stuff like that, if you haven't been there before and if you haven't been out in there and at this time of year, you really don't know what it's like. We found that out this week is just making sure, or as we went along this year, found out that we're truly teaching everything for a first time. Not only X's and O's, but, situational thing and schedule thing and the length of the schedule, for our season and stuff. So everything was really new this year. And like I said, we'll be glad to put this one behind us and then get geared up for next year.
Yeah, and you take a look at it, too, from the standpoint of challenges as far as the football season is concerned. This was your first year on the varsity level, first year of playing in the conference with a lot of teams that are in Class 5 and Class 6. And the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic. So you had challenges this year, didn't you?
Challenges would be the word. Kevin, we look at it, every time we came out Friday night and suited up, we had challenges. And the big part of that was just because of the fact that being at a disadvantage with our class size or not having that senior class, I guess I can talk about it now. We talked about how we weren't going to use it as an excuse or use it as a crutch. But the fact and the reality is, even myself, I learned the value of those older kids and having that group and even the sheer numbers, to be honest with you, having kids for depth. And probably the big thing is that the last thing that we talked about is, when Bashi Trailer's working against another offensive and defensive lineman that's probably a little bit better than him, and he's doing it both ways because he's playing offensive line and defensive line, it wears on a kid. And that's kind of the tale of two halves, too, when you go back and look at last night. You can only do so much against somebody that's platooning or working kids just one side of the ball.
Coach, very quickly, what will you take away from this season personally?
Oh, my gosh, so many things. But the key thing is just that I've still got a lot to learn. Different situations, different things about young people and kids. But wouldn't change it, and learned a lot, and super proud of our kids and everybody at Capital City.
Coach, thanks for the visit. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly on the Coach's Show. Once again, down in Rolla last night, it was Rolla 35, Capital City 7. Camdenton beat Jefferson City 43-36, and we're back with more after the break.
2020 presidential election,
November 3rd,
is around the corner.
Edges closer.
Democrats hoping to vote Trump out.
And closer.
Beat Donald Trump.
Every pundit had the last election wrong.
And the rhetoric reaches a fever pitch.
Call for a national uprising.
This whole cheat by mail.
What is Biden gonna do that Trump didn't do for 4 years to make the economy good?
This is your place to talk about it.
Thank you for taking my call.
On 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. They had a bye last night, and they will play at home on Friday night against the Boonville Pirates. Coach, You didn't have a game last night. Tell me you weren't at a football stadium.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Got to watch two teams. Got to finally figure out late in the third quarter who we pretty much needed to hone in on. But it was awesome to be watching from the stands. Great atmosphere. High school football is the best, buddy.
I was going to say Friday night during football season. Why would you be anywhere else, right?
That is correct. You know, my wife Shelley loves her to death. And last night she's just like, "Well, where are you going?" It wasn't even a question. So opportunities that we have to give our young people, we got to get out and try to do our best to help them. So we decided we needed to go out last night. Staff had a good time watching another team, and we're already at work this morning trying to figure out ways that we can try to stop this really good Boonville football team we're going to see, really playing good football.
All right, you were off this week, and you and I talked about this on the coaches show last week about talking with different coaches and how to approach that week off between the last game of the regular season and when you will play in districts. What'd you do this past week?
Well, we had a plan that we were going to try to follow, and the weather got in the way a little bit. We really, with this coronavirus that's going on, you'd never know what day's going to bring. So what we tried to do is, with it being rainy and nasty, we got an opportunity to go into gym. So Monday we went in the gym, Tuesday we went in the gym, and then Wednesday we actually got out and had a normal Wednesday practice, which for us is 9 offensive periods, 9 defensive periods, 5 minutes long, and all of our special teams. And then Thursday, we went back in the gym and did our normal Thursday morning walkthrough. And then Friday, we turned around and had a Wednesday practice. Mm-hmm. So our players wanted to practice on that. I left it up to them. They wanted to keep everything pretty routine, same. We didn't hit quite as much as we normally would, because, of course, being in the gym, you don't. But I was really impressed, Kevin, with our players' intensity and attention to detail on our eyes and our feet. They really worked on that, and I think that was something that probably helped us, and maybe not being outside and pounding on each other, maybe it was good for us. We'll find out. You know, it could not be, but that is something that we decided to do, and I did. I called four different coaches around the state, and that's what everybody kind of was doing on, you know, that I had spoken with.
Let me ask you this. How different is practice from the beginning of the season to the middle part of the season to when you get to postseason? What do you do differently?
You keep your same fundamental premise of the practice. And one thing that I learned a couple years ago in my research is our 5-minute periods go to 4-minute periods once you hit week 10. You want to cut the time down that you're going on. The second thing is your amount of reps for your threes and fours diminish, and I don't mean that in a bad way. We still have drill work with them. They still get in all drill work. But in your team, I'm a big guy on a program development. You got to have 1, 2, 3, 4. You got to win at all levels. And so earlier in the season, you spend a lot more time coaching all levels and trying to win at all levels. Once those games end for your JV freshman season, you really start to let them get their position work. But you really start to hone in on the ones and twos for your teamwork. And I'd say that is the biggest difference in just the intensity level at practice. If you haven't been on a team that's been in the playoffs in a while, it's hard to get it going because they really don't understand. But like our players last year, they in the previous 2 years, last on Thursday, what I did is I showed our team the end of our 2019 season. And I showed them the end of our 2018 season. I said, this is the difference in the playoffs. And it was a loss to Cassville, and it was a win versus Lathrop in the state finals. And I showed them themselves out there. And it just seems like there's a better sense of urgency out of your seniors. We have so many seniors this year. Our urgency is just so phenomenal that they want to go to practice. They want to go there. Last night we had the game, and all of a sudden here we see Blair Oaks players walking in, coming up and talking to us. So we got guys that want their season to keep going, and that's the thing I believe that's different towards the end of the season is just the urgency that this could be over.
All right, Boonville beat California last night by a score of 34-21. What did you take away from that game?
Very physical football game, which we knew it was going to be. Tale of two halves. California really dominated the first half. Had a lot of success with the things that they do. They hadn't really changed much. And then Boonville turned around, and again, I think with a strong run game, with the good play action, turned around and did a lot of great things. And then forced a couple big turnovers in the second half and just stole the momentum away from California. And once that happened, you could just see a body language change from Boonville to California. But Boonville has just, they've got phenomenal players on their edges. They're big, they're fast, and they're doing things to get their players in space, and that's very, very dangerous with the athleticism they have.
Tell me about their quarterback. He's near 1,000 yards passing on the season.
He's not real big. He's a sophomore. We saw him earlier in the year. He does a really good job in offense. I would say that he throws a really nice deep ball. Last night he threw two balls that changed the dimensions of the field. It changed the way the game was going, and one was a terrific catch by a receiver, but he really throws a good deep ball. The thing they do with him is he's a leader. The team follows him, and he's a tough, hard-nosed guy. He runs, get extra yards. He doesn't come down on the first tackle. He is like a running back when he is running with the football. So he's a load to handle. The first time we faced him, we found that out. Very low to the ground type young man, not real tall, so he gets real low to the ground and just runs through tackles. He did that on the second touchdown for Boonville last night.
One number that really stepped out when I took a look at the Pirates last night is they came into the game against the California Pintos with 29 sacks, and they have a gentleman by the name of Lane West with 10.5 sacks going into that ball game last night.
He's a really good player, has been the two previous meetings we've had with him. He's about 6'3", 6'4", 235 pounds, and I know the Westlock kid on the other side, it gets so much attention. He's been off by Tennessee and several other Division I and SEC schools. He gets all the attention, but West may be the motor to their defense. Number 44, really hard-nosed type of young man, work ethic. You can see just everything he does is trying to get and put somebody violently on the ground, and that's not a bad thing in football. That's what you want people to do. So very, very aggressive. We saw in the first meeting against him, he gave us some trouble. We really got to know where he is at all times, which it's not too hard. He's going to line up over outside our left tackle, but he's going to find a way to get to the football.
I know the answer to this question. I'll ask it anyhow. You have a victory over them in week 4, 51-7.
That was a season ago. In fact, we were in here this morning and we kept referring to last year. We look at this is a whole new season, and you have to look at it that way when you get in the playoffs. Everybody's coming in with one thing in mind, win or go home. So if you can't have a sense of urgency to know that this team is better than what they were, then you're crazy. And we have to look at what they're doing really well right now, and I think that's the thing that as coaches, we were discussing last night, and we've been discussing early this morning, what are they doing so well that they've won so many games in a row now? We got to try to take that away, and that's going to be a real big task for us.
Yeah, the winning streak for them is at 4. In weeks 3 through 5 is when they lost their 3 ball games back-to-back-to-back to Southern Boone, to you, and to California. So they get back to California a second time, and they beat the Pintos last night. So 6-3 on the season, and again, they win last night by a score of 34-21. We talked about their quarterback. Let's talk about your playmakers, and they've been making plays all season long, haven't they?
They really have, and this week really was a good week of practice for us in that category. Dylan Hare starts it off. His throwing, if this sounds weird, I know he threw for a ton of yards last year, has really improved this year. He's really become more of an accurate thrower and more of a position thrower. And what I mean by that is he reads the defense, takes what they give him, and throws to spots. Once you start getting out of a quarterback, it really makes us tough to defend. Our running back, Jaden Purdy, is just but continues to impress and get better each week. He's so physical, so downhill, and he's so selfless. He blocks hard because we use a lot of design runs for Dylan, so he'll be the lead blocker. Just wants to win, just wants to play football. Well, at the receiver position, Kobe Marble really has come on as a threat. He's probably one of the fastest players on the team. If you put somebody on him and they don't cover him, he's going to take it the distance every time he touches the ball. Our other outside receiver is Carson Pringer, big, strong, physical, has a 39 catches on a year and I believe 7 or 8 touchdowns. As the season has worn on, he has become the mismatch force on the outside that really gives people headaches because they don't know whether to take him or take Jake Clauser, our inside slot. Jake climbs the field so well, positions himself, runs great routes, great hands, great speed, and people know where he is at all times. So having Carson as that complimentary piece to Jake is really what paid off, because Jake has 39 catches. So we have two players with 39 catches. Levi Haney, Cade Stockman, and Ian Nolf all rotate in at our other slot position. All three of them very capable. All three of them big, physical. They're all linebackers, but they can all run. And in the last couple weeks, we've really gotten some big-time production out of that slot position. So we're going to continue to try to use all five of our skill athletes to the best of our ability and continue to try to move forward each play. And that's what we got to do. We got to take 4 yards, and that's been our mantra for about the past couple since we played Valley, is take 4 yards.
You know, and you take a look at the numbers for Dylan here, and I think between him throwing the football and running with the football, he has over 2,500 yards coming into the ball game against the Boonville Pirates. You have a tendency to forget that he's only a sophomore.
He started driving 2 weeks ago. He's going to be approaching starting 30 football games here pretty quick as a sophomore. And again, I think Coach Briggs and myself, we sit back every once in a while because of the installation process and what he can decipher and what he can also absorb. Sometimes we forget that young man just had his 16th birthday. We've got to probably try to take some things off of him. So that's what I think one of the bigger things we've done here in the later part of the season is taking things off of him and letting him just be a player.
What's the number one key for you Friday night at home as you'll take on Boonville in the district semifinals?
You know, this is going to sound real cliche, but I think we can't beat ourselves. You know, this is a situation, this is a team that you let them have some momentum and let them, like we saw last night, they feed off that momentum. If you allow them to get a cheap turnover, which happened last night, get inside your 20, get a score, they're going to just raise their level of play. So we can't beat ourselves. We can't have simple, easy penalties, and we can't turn the ball over.
Thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck on Friday night.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage in the district semifinals. Boonville will be at Blair Oaks, and Southern Boone will be at Centralia. Southern Boone won last night as they beat Macon by a score of 62-29. As we mentioned, Jefferson City took on the Camdenton Lakers last night at Atkins Stadium, a ball game won by the Lakers 43-36. A great evening for Kevion Pendleton for the Jefferson City Jays. He picked off a pass on defense and scored 3 touchdowns on offense. Touchdown runs of 9 yards, 11 yards, and 33 yards in the ballgame. The Jays also get a 77-yard touchdown pass from Seth Brooks to David Bethune. At that point in time, with 11 minutes left to go in the ballgame, that touchdown gave the Jays a 1-point lead at 29-28. Ballgame was tied at 36 late in the ballgame as the Jays get a Pendleton touchdown of 33 yards with 8.5 minutes left to go, tied at 36. But a touchdown pass from Jacob Wormsley to Thomas with just 14 seconds left to go in the ballgame, an 18-yard touchdown pass. They took the ball with 4:11 left to go in the ballgame, tied at 36 from their own 26-yard line. They marched down the field in 10 plays. Again, Wormsley, the quarterback, hitting Thomas, the wide receiver, for an 18-yard score with 14 seconds left to go in the ballgame. And Camdenton wins by a score of 43-36 in the ballgame. Jacob Wormsley for the Camdenton Lakers. We had him completing 34 of 42 passes for over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns in the ballgame. They rushed for just 38 yards in the ballgame and had 447 yards of total offense. Jefferson City Jays very balanced last night in the ballgame. They had 442 yards of total offense. And in the ballgame, they rushed for 228 yards. Kevion Pendleton, in addition to that pick in the secondary and the 3 touchdowns scored on the ground, he ended the ballgame with 173 yards. Camdenton wins by a touchdown last night, 43-36. They will head to Washington in a district semifinal matchup against the Washington Blue Jays, the top seed, while Rolla will be in Columbia to take on the Battle Spartans. The Hoyas Crusaders are at home Friday night to take on Nevada, and we'll check in with Crusaders head football coach Chris Inches after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
MITMO 2020. Sergeant Storm and his Bad Weather Battalion have formulated a new way to deal water damage to the homes of Mid-Missouri, where the citizens least expect it. They're siding. This looks like a job for Hodges Roofing and Siding and the Gray Panther!
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. I'll spec your siding for free and give you my bestimate for replacement if needed.
Hodges Roofing, home of the Gray Panther since 1976.
Save now on compact and utility tractors during the Massey Ferguson sales event at Tompkins Implement. Designed with performance in mind, these versatile tractors are made to boost your productivity and outperform the competition. And now you'll get 0% financing for up to 84 months on Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Don't forget to ask about their 10-year warranty, too. But hurry, this offer ends soon. Visit Tompkins Implement, Highway 52 West in Eldon, or go to TompkinsImplement.com.
All across the nation, we are here for our communities.
We're doing our part to get supplies where it's needed in order to fight COVID-19 together.
It feels good to be out there to assist our community.
I would like our friends and family to know that your National Guardsmen are always ready and always there.
Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. It will be a Friday night game at Ray Hinches Stadium. We'll have the broadcast starting at 6:30 with the pregame show, and we'll talk with Coach Chris Hinches on that pregame show, get you set for that ball game, as at 7 o'clock it's a kickoff between Helias and the Nevada Tigers. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Kevin.
Well, what was it like to be off last night?
Well, I mean, it was a little bit weird last night being off, but, you know, we were able to have a good practice yesterday evening and watch a little bit of the Harrisonville-Nevada game as it was being live-streamed and, you know, just spend some time with our families, which we usually don't get to do on a Friday night.
You know, you take a look at it. Some coaches don't mind having the off week. What was your thoughts on it?
I think it was good for us, particularly since we picked up a really tough Week 9 game with Cardinal Ritter. And I'm not ashamed to say it, we were a little beat up after that game. That was a big physical team. You know, we really gutted it out, got the win, but, you know, we had several starters that needed to heal. And so we were able to do that last week and I think really work on ourselves, get a lot of things done that we needed to get done, a lot of situational reminders, things that we really hadn't done since camp. You know, whether you're talking about, end of half, end of game situations, you know, a few trick plays here and there, just kind of cleaning up some things, special teams wise, offensively and defensively, that we were able to do. Now we did peek ahead a little bit about looking at both Harrisonville and Nevada, knowing that would be our district semifinal opponent. But you know, last week we practiced 3 days, had three really good practices, and gave the kids a little time off and got some weightlifting done. But really just kind of focused on how could we become a better football team to get ready for the district and playoff run.
We asked this question of Coach LePage a couple of moments ago. I'll ask you as well. What is different as far as your practices are concerned, first part of the season, middle part of the season, as you get to postseason play? Is there anything different as how you approach it?
Well, for us, there is. I mean, in the beginning of the season, your camp practices, you probably have a lot more individual time working on individual techniques and skills that you need to be successful to play the position that we're asking you to play. But you have this kind of slow progression from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, where maybe the individual time and the individual sets really cut down a little bit, and you focus a little bit more on your team reps and preparation for your opponent on a Friday night. But and this is something, my dad always adhered to, and, I think a lot of coaches do as well, and we do as well, that as the season rolls on, early in the year, you can have those three-hour practices and, grind from 3:30 to 6:30. But as the season progresses, you need to begin to kind of pull that back a little bit.
because I think there is a cumulative effect to those long practices. And, you know, when you get to week 6, 7, 8 and beyond, we do try to trim a few things back and shorten practice a bit. You still have to do what you have to do, and football practices are always going to be long, particularly on Tuesdays, because those are the days you really put most of your work in. But trying to taper back some of those individual times and focus just on team and scheme, that's kind of our formula, and that's what we've done through the years.
All right, you will have Nevada on Friday night. The Tigers come in with a mark of 7-3. I cut off my research last night at 12:30 this morning, but is this the first ever meeting between the two?
I believe so. I certainly can't remember in my time here at Helias. I can't remember playing them. I do think our paths have crossed in other sports, but not in football.
You know, and they're coming off a victory over Harrisonville last night, 56-41. This is a Nevada football program that didn't win a game last year. They're 7-3 this year.
Yeah, big improvement. And, you know, when you look at what they're doing, you know, they're going to run the football. Obviously they were in a shootout last night, but a shootout not like you would think. When you think shootout football today, you think of wide open spread offenses slinging the ball over the field. That's not what happened last night, because neither team passes the ball much. They run the football, and they're very good at it. They're big up front. And so we'll have our hands full stopping that powerful rushing attack. And then defensively, they're a 4-4 structure. Play one high safety. They're going to try to overpopulate the box and force you to throw the football. Just at first glance and things that we've looked at this past week, you know, I feel it's a good matchup for us.
Yeah, you take a look at the numbers from the ball game last night, and they had total in the ball game over 900 yards of total offense. Harrisonville had 500 yards, Nevada with 415. They rushed for 373 yards against Harrisonville last night. I took a look at it. To me, the number one statistic was the fact that Harrisonville lost 4 fumbles.
Yeah, the turnovers and penalties really doomed Harrisonville. And Kevin, I'll be honest with you, I looked at both of them pretty hard last week, and I really thought Harrisonville was going to win that ball game. I thought Harrisonville was a better football team, but Nevada did what they had to do. They had the home game, which I think was some advantage for them, and took advantage of the turnovers that they were able to get. They were pretty evenly matched. I just kind of gave a little bit of the edge to Harrisonville. But, we're just excited about playing a home game in the district playoffs, and, you know, looking forward to being back in front of our home crowd and getting back on the football field. I could tell last night at practice, our boys, even though it was a really good practice last night, they were a little bit like, this feels weird. This is Friday. We're supposed to be playing a football game, not practicing. But I know we'll be excited to get back and get under the lights and play a game.
Again, Nevada wins last night by 15, 56-41. But Nevada had a one-point lead early in the fourth quarter at 36-35. Again, they win by a score of 56-41. Caden Denny, their running back, big night last night for him. 15 carries, 197 yards, and 3 TDs.
Yeah. And like I said, and Harrisonville had a premier back, too, one of the best in the country. So teams like this, we're going to have to focus on stopping the run. And, you know, Coach Pitts and his defensive staff, they'll put together a great game plan to try to bottle up that running back. We've seen good running backs all year. We feel we have a defense that can match up and stand tall against the powerful run attack. And, you know, it's going to be for us, you know, a matter of it's a possession game. We can't let them control the clock and, you know, take every possession down. If we can get some stops, we feel offensively that we'll be able to move the football and score on them. But looking forward to, you know, a great week of practice and in preparation for a team we've never played before. I think it'll be exciting. Sure looking forward to starting districts for us.
You know, that tailback you're talking about got injured a couple of weeks ago, and that's Case Sanderson. What about this quarterback, Dylan Beachler?
Well, like I said, he's a good athlete, manages the offense. Like I said, they are a run-first offense, but, you know, they have a quarterback, too, that can hurt you in both run game and pass game as well. So, you know, that'll have to, you know, be a focus of our defense as well.
You know, we've talked about this throughout the season, but your playmakers have been making plays for you, haven't they?
They have, starting with our quarterback, but a great dual-threat quarterback is certainly a weapon to have in a spread offense, and that's what we have with Jacob Weaver. And you know, but we're able to, you know, rely on others as well. You know, our slot receivers, split receivers, our running backs, and of course, it all goes through the offensive line up front, too. So we just need to keep doing what we're doing. You know, I like our matchup against Nevada. I think we're going to have some opportunities to really strike with some big plays. And but it's just going to have to be a good week of practice, you know, making sure that, you know, we have our game plan together and our kids understand what they're supposed to do. We can go out and execute. And, you know, if we can do those things, I certainly like our chances.
When you take a look at the numbers, again, they like to run the football. You stop the run, number one key, you win the ball game, right?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and our run defense has been really fabulous all year. You know, they pull so many linemen, and that's going to be the kind of the challenge this week with Nevada. They are a downhill run team, but they really like to get their linemen out in space and get to the perimeter. And so our edge defenders are going to have to do a really good job of setting the edge defensively and allowing our pursuit, you know, work from the inside out and bottle up that rush attack.
Is there anybody that you've played so far that is similar to them?
No, I really don't think so. You know, we play primarily spread offenses, but it does remind you a little bit of teams that we've played maybe in the past, you know, like Monroe City's or Lebanon's from last year. But it's a little bit of a unique situation. I would say maybe Capital City, but it's different. It's different. You know, we're going to have to play a little bit more of a five-man front, and you know, you just can't do that against a spread offense. But these offenses that rarely split receivers out, they're going to keep 10 guys pretty much in the offensive formation with up backs that can act as counterbacks and, you know, pull and lead block. And it's going to be really everyone tight in a kind of a phone booth football. We're going to have to do a good job of setting the edge, as I said earlier, and pursuing from the inside out. And, you know, our linebackers are going to be key. But, you know, Coach Pitts has said, sometimes you just can't scheme up free hitters. You know, we got to take on the blocks. We got to defeat the blocks. We got to tackle the ball carry. That's going to be key this week.
Coach, thanks for the visit. We'll see you on Friday.
Okay.
The Last Crusaders head football coach Chris Inches. Friday night, 6:30 with the pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play.